that's the sound of another sale on Shopify, in store. Shopify POS is everything you need to sell in person. From payments to inventory, Shopify unites your sales into one commerce platform. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/retail23. Shopify.com/retail23.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You're about to listen to Bananas for Bonanza, Episode 9.
This is Andy Daly. Hello. Here on this free feed, I'll be re-releasing all of the back episodes of Bananas for Bonanza, one every other week. If you want to hear new episodes ad-free, please subscribe to my Patreon at patreon.com/AndyDaly. The entire Bananas for Bonanza archive is also waiting for you there, and you can access lots and lots of bonus content. So do that. Okay. Thank you. Enjoy.
Yeah! Bonanza, it's the finest show alive. So consult your TV guide, get your great outdoors inside, take some Ponderosa pride, and forever may it ride. I'm Bananas for Bonanza.
All right, Brian! Here we go. Here comes a big yeehaw. I'm going to make it the biggest one yet. Here we go. Ready? Damn. Whoa, Mutt Taylor, what was that?
That was an exploding Rambo arrow.
Man, yeah, last time you had a Rambo arrow, but it wasn't rigged up to explode, and this time it damn well exploded. What did you blow up, my friend?
Oh, it looks like my neighbor's truck.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I do apologize to him via this podcast. He better be listening. You know what? I won't even go over apologize. I'll say, listen to episode 7 of Bananas for Bonanza.
That's a better idea. See, not only is that a de facto apology, but it promotes our podcast. That's not a bad idea at all. Matter of fact, anybody that wants an apology from me anywhere in the world, I'll tell them, listen to Bananas for Bonanza. They're not going to get one here, but... It'll get them to listen to it anyways. That's Mutt Taylor. Hey, you're listening. Wait a minute. Here, let me say the thing I say at the top of the episodes. Hello, friend. Come on in. The gate is open wide. Welcome to episode 9 and 7 of Bananas for Bonanza with Dalton Wilcox. That's me. I am Dalton Wilcox. And we're also here with a regular co-host, Mutt Taylor, who you just heard from. Hello, Mutt.
Hello.
And Amy Sleverson is here. Christian entrepreneur Amy Sleverson. How's it going, Amy?
Well, it's Lot's Daughters is going great. And okay. If anybody wants to get in and become a consultant, there's a Lot's Daughters starter kit that is now going to be available. It's $99, and you start out with a charm bracelet that you add memories of different traumas that you've had.
We have
all sorts of charms that you can add.
Well, we're definitely going to talk about that. Last time we did one of these episodes, we was talking about how you've got a tragedy bracelet, tragedy charms.
It's a tragedy bracelet, but It's really about remembering really bad things, but then it has a little jingle on your arm. It's a conversation starter.
So all of your tragedies are memorialized in these little charms on your bracelet, and it jingles when you walk. And I like it. Conversation starter. You could talk pretty much everywhere you go. Somebody's going to ask you about all the worst things that ever happened in your life.
Well, and that is what bringing I'm a prophet, profiting, and trying to bring different things like teaspoons and popcorn boxes and bundt pans and kitchen caddies into homes that were already Christ-like, but now can have Christ-like clutter.
Oh, beautiful. See, that you put that right there on your website. Now you got Christ-like clutter.
Dalton, are we going to dedicate a little bit of time to ask her about a charm each episode? Because that has been my reason for living, and I don't know if we want to do that now.
We're going to do it. I think not quite right now. We do. Yeah. We have a guest I want to introduce, but before we even do that, I do need to address the events of this past weekend where we had the 2020 First Annual Wilcox Ranch Exposition of Cowboy Poetry, Wit, Wisdom, Western Music, Beans, Neckerchiefs, Gonorrhea, Painting My Barn, and Rope Tricks. And man, it was a goddamn disaster. Oh. It was. I had to press the self-destruct button on the Wilcox Ranch.
Oh, I just got out of the emergency room.
Damn it. I can't believe how... I'm furious about it. Now I'm staying in a, you know, like any good cowboy, I've got every inch of my ranch covered in explosives to self-destruct at any time when things go that horribly as they did on Saturday, the 4th of July. Now, first of all, I was expecting 200,000 people to come to this, and that's what happened, but almost all of them was invisible mans. It was just thousands upon thousands of invisible mans, and, you know, at a certain point, I got so mad at him, I started stabbing and shooting indiscriminately, just trying to shoot some invisible mans or stab them. We had almost everything went wrong. Russell Shine did show up, but I guess he saw the sign that said dunk Russell Shine in a dunk tank full of piss, and he ran away. And it was funny to see him run, but and then Mino Agapian didn't show up, and Bartleby Mulcahy, he forgot about it, and Chip Junction's grandmother said he couldn't come. And Cram Daniels, at the last minute, he said, no, we're hosting a live edition of our Deadwood podcast on YouTube or something like that. And I guess 2 million people watched it, but he didn't come down. The only thing we did have, Amy, you were there selling some Christian
homes. That's right. I came in on the 13th chapter of Revelations. I dressed as a beast with 10 horns atop 7 heads, and I rose out of the piss. And I was a dragon, but then also a lamb.
And that was beautiful. I mean, that was one of the highlights for me of the whole weekend. It was wonderful. And then, Mutt, you was there. You brought those mirrors to do that one-man Mexican standoff. Okay.
Yeah, no, I did, and I made good on my word. I brought up 2 full-size body-length mirrors to do a one-man Mexican standoff. But the problem is, sun come down around 4 o'clock. Gets real low on the horizon, shot a beam directly at that mirror, which then ricocheted off another mirror. Both of them had a beam concentrated right in my side, and it burned a hole through one of my livers. But here's the crazy thing. So hot, went straight through my torso. Yeah. It cauterized the wound. So I just have this tunnel, is all I can call it. It's just in the side of my gut, right there in my guttocks. And you could put an arm through it. And I'd invite you to do that next time I see you, but God knows when that'll be. Anyway, I'm back, and here I am, motherfucker.
Yeah, nobody ever would have expected that to happen.
I did great business by selling cutting boards that have a little hole in it, so it's called a Ponderosa Wife.
Ponderosa Wife?
Wow, I'd like one of them, I think.
That sounds real good. A cutting board with a hole in it?
Uh-huh.
Well, you can hang it up, or you can use it as a partner.
Yeah. Ooh,
that's kind of what I am now with this hole in my side.
Look at that.
Exactly.
Probably all sorts of uses for that hole there, Mutt. You just need to be creative. Huh? Well, I do want to apologize, by the way, that as soon as the journeyman took the stage is when I realized I had to hit the self-destruct button on the whole ranch, and a couple of you guys got burned up bad. Yeah. But, you know, there were sheriff deputies. I think the sheriff deputized some vampires because they didn't show up till the sun went down. That's awfully suspicious. And it was just a real mess.
Well, we know better for next year.
Next year, we know better.
Right? Well, yeah.
specifically say on the flyer, no invisible mans. All righty. Now, let's introduce our wonderful guest. This is exciting. They assured me she was a huge Bonanza fan. Now, and they keep saying that, and it turns out to be a goddamn lie. But this time, we've got the host of a podcast called The Scam Goddess. Her name is Lacey Mosley. Hello, Lacey.
Hey.
Oh, hi, Lacey. I'm a big fan.
You a fan of The Scam Goddess?
Yeah, and I for one, cannot wait to hear what Lacey has to say about Amy's business dealings, because I think they'll pass the test.
They seem on the up and up. I want some trauma charms. Ooh, I would love to accost people with my pain. That's my favorite pastime.
Oh, yeah, is it? What things would be on your charm bracelet of tragedies? Can you think of anything you'd put on there?
Yes, I would definitely put the time that my mother got hit by a car that I was driving. I happened to be driving it, but it wasn't my fault.
So would you put a car charm or just a carcass?
Well, Amy, do you have anything that's like a mom saying, why? And then like a car on her body? Like all of that in one charm.
We have a wig that flies up. And then we also have, you can order any early model Dodge.
Oh. Ooh. Oh, wow.
Because a lot of bad things happen in Dodge Darts.
I can attest to that.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And that'd be great, because then I can go to the grocery store with it. You know, when people say, how are you? That's a perfect opportunity to talk about your trauma. They say, how are you? You say, I hit my mom with the car. And then I show them the charm.
Yeah. And they'll say, did that just happen? And you say, what? When did it happen?
Oh, when did it happen? Oh, mm-hmm. Like a few days ago. She's recovering.
Oh, that's recent. That's a recent thing.
Well, and we can get that to you just as soon as you have the trauma. It's overnight now.
Oh, that's what I like. That's a good business plan.
Yeah,
that sounds right.
So you got a car and a flying wig next to each other.
Wig. And then, but you can get the wailing face of a mother. The hair, you know, is sometimes you can put, you know, whatever hairstyle you want. So it can be a wailing mother charm, but I don't know, you know, what you would want. There's so many options.
Yeah. Do you have any with Guy Fieri hair? My mom has Guy Fieri hair.
Yes. We have Guy Fieri.
Beautiful.
And that's would probably be a perfect, and then it opens up, it's a conversation starter.
Lacey, how do you figure it wasn't your fault that you hit your mom with a car? Because I don't know a lot about cars, but as far as I know, pedestrians always have the right of way.
Well, I hear you, but you know, as a scammer, I've taken no accountability. I have a mantra that is, I take no responsibility. It's really, I went to a retreat once and it really opened me up to realizing that I don't have to be responsible for anything and anybody.
Oh, really? Who sponsored that retreat? That sounds like an interesting retreat.
It sounds like Joel Osteen.
Oh, yeah.
Christian prosperity preacher.
It was actually his cousin.
Oh,
Cole Osteen.
Osteen.
Joel and Cole? The Osteen boys?
Okay. Yes.
I have a follow-up question about your mom. Does she have Guy Fieri hair head to toe, like chin and all that, and whatever elements head to toe also encompasses?
She has Guy Fieri hair on her head, and then also her knuckles resemble Guy Fieri's knuckles as well.
Oh, he's got that mid-digital kind of braided, that's just fringy hair. I know what you're talking about. I have that, but I was going to blame it on someone else, but I do have that.
Yeah. And Google Guy Fieri's hands. He has soft, smooth baby man hands.
Does he really?
Yeah, for real. Google it, for real.
I'm doing it right now.
All right, Mutt, you Google that, and I'm going to ask Lacey in the meantime. So your podcast, The Scam Goddess, you talk about scams and con mans and all that business, right?
Yes.
Can you give us an example? Give us an example of the type of kind of guy you talk about. You talk about real life scammers and people who really scam people.
I talk about real life scammers, and they reach out to me if they're not in jail sometimes. Recently, a rapper named Chad Focus, who spent over $1 million on company credit cards trying to promote his rap album. He's out of jail now, and he said he's chilling in his mansion and he appreciated the episode. Shout out to Chad.
Wow.
Oh my gosh, that's a great idea.
Company credit cards? What do you mean? He took out credit cards in his own name or in the name of somebody else's company? Or
he works for a company and they gave him an Amex and he saw his opportunity to Scamex. And that's when he started buying billboards and gold chains and taking photos on jets.
I see. And he must have figured that the album was going to sell so much right away that he'd be able to put that money back in there and nobody would ever notice.
I don't think he had a plan, but his music slaps. So...
It does.
It's good music.
Oh. Yeah. Listen, I don't know nothing about no rap music, but is it unusual to have a rapper named Chad?
Actually, yes. But these days, you can be named anything. I know a rapper who's named after a credit card swiper.
What's the name?
Yeah, what's the name?
TKJX6. I'm not joking.
And you use that to swipe a credit card. Is that one of them ones you hook up to your iPhone or whatnot and just grab the card right there? And
I think it's one that you have to hold because he said he looked at the bottom and that's where he found it. Other rappers are like, there's DaBaby, Lil Baby, Young Money, Young Rich, Never Broke Again. That's one name. It's also a sentence.
Oh, I like where this is going because I named a kid Netflix.
You did?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a good name. Everybody loves Netflix. Your kid's going to do well in life.
I hope so. Yeah.
President Netflix.
Oh, come on now. I don't know if I could ever be the father of a president. All right, I'll do it.
That's a lot of responsibility. You have to try not to fuck anything up for 4 whole years. Hard work.
Yeah. Me, as the parent. Yeah, you're right. I can't play saxophone or, drink myself to death.
Nothing.
Did your rapping friend ever try multi-level marketing and have a gathering?
Oh, no, he did not do that. But I do know some multi-level marketers like Tyra Banks.
What does she sell?
Tyra Banks had a beauty line. I can't remember the name of it right now, but it's a multi-level marketing beauty scheme that Tyra recently shut down like in the early 2000s.
I think she is a big con artist because I can... Now, this is Mutt Taylor talking, but I also have a friend named Matt Gourley, and he once went to Del Taco with her on a real fluke, and she says, I ain't got no money. Can you buy me a 7-layer dip burrito or whatever it's called? And that's a true story.
Wait a minute. This friend of yours, Matt.
I get a lot of my stories from him. Yeah,
Matt Gourley. Went to out for tacos with Tyra Banks. Why?
Well, he was with his good friend Fred and Robin. And Robin was an old high school chum of Tyra Banks, and they went out bowling. But first, they went to Del Taco, and she didn't have a dime on her. I had to buy her a 7-layer burrito.
That's what happens when you're a businesswoman. You stop carrying cash
or paying for anything. I just found the name of it. It's called Beautytainer. That was Tyra Banks' multi-level marketing scheme.
What's that? Is that a pun or a portmanteau? Beautytainer, like entertainer?
Yes, but with beauty.
Oh.
Well, she'd love to get a basket of that product.
She made $27 million.
Oh, what? My
God. That was
good heavens. I hope to God that was
referrals to friends.
But how is that possible? Beautytainer is neither a beautiful or an entertaining name. It cancels both out instead of amplifies the other. I mean, I did take a marketing class once. I just go on.
I can tell. Was it online?
It was online, yeah. Yeah. This is the early days, too. It's just me and another guy.
But you don't know how to smize.
What is smize?
Show me. How do I do it?
It's when you smile with your eyes.
Oh, that's another point. Yeah.
Yes.
That works. Watch this. I'll try it.
All right. I wouldn't call that a smile.
No.
No.
That feels like you might be on the toilet. No, that's not.
It also looks like you aged 50 years when you make that face. I don't know what it is. It's real strange.
Yeah, it does. Wow, I Dorian Grayed myself.
You did. Oh, well, God. I certainly hope that you made that $27 million after you got suckered into buying her a multi-layered taco. A multi-level burrito.
Yeah, you should hit her up and get your $5.27 back because she has it.
All right, well, if you're listening, Tyra, and I think most of the world is, first of all, I apologize to my neighbor. Second of all, you owe me, I believe, $1.29 or whatever it was. And judging for inflation, let's make that, like you said, about $5.
Yep, that sounds fair. Now, Lacey, do you pull scams yourself? You have some experience pulling scams yourself?
Yes, I have pulled some scams. Some I'm at liberty to say, some that statutes of limitations will not allow me at the moment. But yes, I like to pull small scams because I don't want to hurt people. For example, do you know that if you are in a line at any like place, like a retail place or any normal place, psychology has taught us that people don't like conflict to the point where if you give them any excuse to cut them in line, they normally will let you.
Oh, I see.
So I'll go to FedEx.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay.
And I'll be like, my car is running outside. Do you mind if I cut in line? And they will say yes.
Whoa.
Oh, well,
that's good.
I'd like to test your theory that you could give almost any reason. Like to just say, in my opinion, you smell terrible. Can I cut in front of you? Because I think the breeze is blowing this way. Right?
Or I deserve to go before you. Can I cut in? No. But then he wouldn't say no. They would say yes, according to your prophecy.
Well, I said almost any reason, and you both gave terrible reasons. You insulted them.
Let me try one, Matt.
Excuse me.
Pardon me, ma'am. Did you know studies show that just about any idiot will let you cut in front of them if you get real conflicty? So back off, lady. Listen to Bananas for Bonanza for apology later.
That's perfect. You mixed in a promotion.
Well, I took a marketing class.
Yeah, that's real good.
Yeah,
I'm going to try it next time I go to FedEx. Maybe I'll try, hey, I'm rich. I deserve to go in front of you. See if it works.
These are the worst ones I've ever heard, but please do try them.
I will try them.
I have a baby in a hot car and the windows are closed. Let me go.
I have a baby in a hot jacuzzi. Let me go.
I have a baby in the oven. Let me go.
I would just go with, I have a baby.
Oh, I have a bun in the oven.
Simplify, edit.
That's a euphemism for being pregnant.
Right. Well, I like it too if you just say, I have a baby, but it's clear that you don't have a baby with you. It's just a lot of mystery.
Yeah. That's exactly how it goes. I have a baby. Let me cut in this line. But baby in a hot car is fun, but also the cops might be called. So be aware of that.
Right. Yeah, but it's just the FedEx cops. You don't have to
listen. And it's a little baby. It's a very little baby.
Yeah.
That's worse.
Tiny. Oh. Okay, good. Well, we've covered a lot of ground here so far. Should we, before we get into the episode, I was going to say, it's highly fortuitous, Lacey, that you're here for this episode, because it does involve a con man, this episode. It's all about a con man pulling cons.
It feels like we have an expert here to talk us through how the Comstock fella, how good his game is. You can tell him. You can tell us if he's doing techniques and shit.
Yeah.
He's charming. Everyone likes him, even though they don't want to.
Yeah.
You can't help but like this fella.
He's a carpetbagger for sure.
Hot damn, a claim jumper. all right, but should we get to it, or should we hear, like we's going to do now, regular feature of this show, an explanation of one or two or three of Amy Sleverson's tragedy charms?
I'm so excited.
Amy, is there a particular tragedy charm or two that you want to highlight for us, or should we just choose from what you got dangling there?
Well, I have a lot, just one I wanted to showcase because it's on sale for $19.99.
And if you
buy before the end of this show is done, then you can get a $50 credit towards more orders at lotsdaughters.com. And it's a barbecue grill.
Oh, okay.
What's the tragedy there?
My husband left the barbecue to me, and I didn't have an instruction book, and it caught fire, and I have third-degree burns on my lower legs.
Oh no!
I did a nice job on the steak, so I managed to keep them on. I put butter on it, and I managed to not overdo them even while the emergency medical technicians were coming.
You hung in there and you cooked them steaks even though you was burned.
He doesn't like them overdone.
Oh, right. If you'd gone and taken a ride in an ambulance and left them steaks there on the fire, God knows what your husband would have found.
Yep.
Oh, He'd been so mad. Amy, he likes a little pink.
Quick question. What if I see a charm that you got for sale? I really like it, but I ain't yet had that tragedy. Could I buy the charm and then make the tragedy happen some way, or how's that work?
Well, there's no telling what's going to happen, but something for sure bad will happen to you. And you can just assign that to a charm. We have a charm that's the Apollo 13. And even though, you know, even if you're not associated with that, or nothing bad happened, you know, you can just say, oh, that reminds me of something.
Oh, wow. I was watching.
My husband has toe fungus, and sometimes for whatever reason, it's just he thinks about space programs.
My cat choked to death when I was watching Rocky II when Apollo Creed gets killed.
Oh, it's a perfect charm.
I believe you're talking about Rocky III, my friend. But,
I do apologize.
That's all right.
You know, my cat was choking. I was a little busy, so.
I suppose we can excuse the transgression.
But we also have a new line of charms that represent all world religions. So there's the Star of David with six-pointed star. And then there's the yin-yang of the Confucius. And then the Sikh double-edged sword. And the crescent and the moon of Muslims. And then the Christ cross on the cross.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Do you have Cole Osteen's church?
It
just needs to look like a little cash machine with a tiny little cross. But the cross has to be tiny.
I will get on that because that sounds like one that will really move.
Yeah. Do you have a charm? What would you recommend if I wanted to memorialize on my wrist the events of the 2020 Wilcox France exposition of all those things that went so goddamn sideways and forced me to blow up my home?
Oh. How do you make gonorrhea a charm?
Wow. There's so many ways to memorialize STDs. You can just put, you know, a small version of a free clinic, or or if your explosion is totally with a little stick of dynamite. But a lot of these things are things you can just think up yourself, and then we send the design to China, and it's done within a week because there aren't any laws there.
Right. There's no laws to slow down the memorialization of your tragedy.
And that's a scam, right?
What's a scam?
To not pay people very well to do good work, and then we make money off of it.
Does that qualify as a scam, Lacey? What's going on with the Chinese people doing work?
That's called capitalism, and it's the biggest scam. It's my favorite. It's my favorite scam. I asked about the gonorrhea charm because earlier Dalton said that there was a gonorrhea outbreak at his ranch. Can you put the ranch and then somehow include the gonorrhea all in one charm?
When I think of that, I think you could have a horseshoe and then have a horseshoe with a little teardrop attached to it. Because that would be the treatment might be something that would be a bromide or a pomade that you put on your genitals.
Yeah, that's the common treatment for gonorrhea.
That's the first thing the doctor says. You put some pomade on your genitals. Try that for 14 days.
Right from your hair. And I tell you what, I think gonorrhea, does it make you go blind? So the tear could work there too. Cause I was blind for 2 weeks and I never got an explanation why until I talked to this gal. Her name was Sex. Her name was Sex. Yeah.
Well, that saves time.
I mean, I should have seen it coming.
Yeah.
Sex Collins.
Well, that's not nice. Yeah. Good Irish.
It's got a ring to it.
It does. Yeah, it does. Yeah, it really does. Yeah.
Well, all right. Folks, I think we've covered the charms. We've covered the 2020 Wilcox Exposition and all kinds of, we've met each other. So it's been a good time here. But now I want to start talking about season 1, episode 9 of Bonanza, the greatest television show that ever was. And this episode was called Mr. Henry Comstock. We're going to talk about it. I don't know how far we're going. We probably should take a break soon. But I just want to say first off that this was a fantastic episode. It's got brawling. It's got some of the best shooting we've ever seen on this show. It's got engines. It's got Hop Sing. It has all four of the regular cast members of the show, which is a real treat. It's got a history lesson. It's got wall-to-wall disrespect for women. It's got comical minors and a city slicker. Man, oh man, this one had every damn thing, didn't it?
It had two people who used a tanning salon much too heavily or were spray tanned.
You talk about the engines?
Well, I think the actors were, yeah. Uh-huh. They were clearly very thin people of Greek descent.
And blue-eyed Greek descent at that. So kind of Southern Greeks, I imagine. I don't know. Or Northern, I guess.
Yeah.
Very confusing.
Yeah.
Whatever they sprayed on them to make them look like Indians, man, it was good. Because I fully believe those were Indians. But all right. I think we're going to talk about all that and a whole lot more when we come back from a quick break. That sound good from everybody?
Yep.
And then, well, when we come back, we're going to talk all about Episode 9, Mr. Henry Comstock. Lacey Mosley is here. We'll see you soon.
That's the sound of another sale on Shopify, in store. Shopify POS is everything you need to sell in person. From payments to inventory, Shopify unites your sales into one commerce platform. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/retail23. shopify.com/retail23.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
All right, welcome back to Bananas for Bonanza. We're talking about season 1, episode 9, Mr. Henry Comstock. Just a fantastic episode. I got some clips I'm going to show you. We're going to have a good time. This episode, it's got some good guest stars. I, as you know, I've been starting to really look into the guest stars. The fellow, Henry Comstock, is played by a guy named Jack Carson, who's got big parts in Things You Never Heard Of and small parts in Things You Have. And he played a car salesman in an episode of The Twilight Zone where he's selling a car that's haunted. Isn't that something?
Whoa, I mean, sounds like something Comstock would do.
Yes, it does. That's
get
true.
On brand.
Mm-hmm. And then we had Chief Winnemucca's daughter was played by a woman named Joanne Sages. And she was in 1958, she was Girl at Party in a movie called Shadows. And then she was in this episode of Bonanza, and then she never did anything ever again.
Ah, God. This is my husband's favorite episodes because no women talk.
They sure don't. She
but
didn't
I,
say a word.
I did an inner monologue for all of them during the episode.
Whoa. What did they say?
They said, you have no idea what I am going through.
Yeah, that might be right. Well, she doesn't say a damn word, and it's hard to imagine that she understood much of what Little Joe was explaining to her. His hand gestures were vague at best, but somehow she showed up at the dance on time. We'll get to all that, but something must have happened on the set of Bonanza that made Joanne Sages say, never again.
Oh, yeah.
She never worked.
That's hard to believe. The 1950s Hollywood would in some way lead her to quit acting? I don't know.
I don't know how that would happen. Yeah. Then there's another fellow named Richard Cutting. He played the fella at the end who's from Virginia. His character name was Old Virginie. Mm-hmm. And let me read you his bio on the internet movie computer. It says, in the 1950s, Richard Cutting derived fame as Manners, a tiny butler in a bowler derby hat in a series of commercials for Kleenex napkins. By trick photography, he appeared to be about only inches in height and would manifest under a dinner table in a traditional butler's cutaway. A paper napkin was always slipping off the lap of a diner, giving Manners the opportunity, after a polite ahem, to inform the guest of the non-slip benefit of the Kleenex napkin.
Whoa, I just looked that up on YouTube right now.
Oh, there yeah. Oh, hey, by the way, did you ever get a good look at Guy Fieri's hands? We never did hear back about Guy Fieri's hands.
Yeah, they're soft as, if not more than, a baby's bottom.
Okay.
Well, he uses so much butter, it should be.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I think he also wipes his hands in diaper cream, too.
Good for him. Yeah. Good for him. Beautiful. Yeah, and then this fellow, Richard Cutting, he was also a forest ranger in a movie called Monster on the Campus.
Oh, no.
And he was in a movie called Attack of the Crab Monsters. And he was in a movie called Creature with the Atom Brain. Whoa. A-T-O-M.
And none of those movies have anything to do with each other?
Nope, they don't.
No sequel?
No. Does Attack of the Crab Monsters have anything to do with gonorrhea?
I think it is. I think it is an instructional film about STDs.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, yeah, I had to watch that in school.
Yeah, you had to watch Attack of the Crab Monsters?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll talk you out of screwing around for at least a week. Well, let's see here. So that's a good guest cast on this episode, as always. And this episode starts with all our heroes, and they are they stop for water by a lakeside or by a river, and a bearded fellow, he's a prospector who every morning glues on a beard.
And I was going to say, there's a lot of false beards. I mean, I think they just took the wig right off Lauren Green's hair in some cases and put them on another man for coverage shots. They had one go around.
Well, this fella's got time to glue on a beard. He comes out and he says, hey, you're on my land, but he's on the Ponderosa. And then we cut to the opening credits, and this is, according to Wikipedia, this is the ninth episode of Bonanza to feature the burning map in the opening credits.
You know what else is interesting? This is the second episode they shot, even though they aired it the ninth. And I think that's why you're getting the origin story of Virginia City, which is referred to in prior episodes. Yeah.
I was going to say, this episode has more to do with the Ponderosa and the Cartwrights than any of the ones we've seen since episode one. Yep. So that explains it.
Yep.
I wonder what happened there.
I don't know why they pushed it back.
Strange. Yeah, it turns out this fellow, who they keep calling Old Timer, but he seems to be about the same age as all the boys. He says he bought a piece of land from Henry Comstock for $25 there on the Ponderosa. The boys, the Cartwrights, all laugh and laugh and laugh.
They laugh so hard. That's how I laugh when somebody asks for an advancement bonus. Okay, they've been working with me for only a month. Are you kidding me? You haven't sold nearly enough salt shakers.
Yeah, this poor young old timer with a glued on beard got conned out of $25, and they laugh and laugh and laugh. And then they say, oh boy, old Henry Comstock sold this to you, huh? And the screen goes all wavy for a flashback. And then the whole rest of the episode is about, I don't know how long ago. How long ago is it supposed to be?
They don't rightly say. I don't think
they don't rightly say.
I didn't even realize totally it was a flashback till the end when they flashed forward again. And then
really?
Could have been anywhere up to 2,000 years ago.
When it might have been a Bible story.
Dinosaur.
When they came to the Ponderosa and planted those trees, the first trees,
yeah,
with Michael Landon as Jesus.
Yes, yes. Sure, yeah. Amy believes Jesus. That Michael Landon is Jesus, and this episode backs it up. As
I believe
do.
That too. I do. You've got me to that side of thinking.
Yeah, I want to show you my first clip from this episode because it takes place in the next scene. The next scene after the credits is one of the longest scenes ever on this show, and it is it's just a beautiful ode to trees. It has a whole lot of talk about railroads that doesn't have anything to do with the rest of the episode. It's unbelievable, and I'm gonna show a clip from that where I think Lauren Green must have won multiple Oscars for this scene about trees. Wait a minute. God damn it. I got to share my screen.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Track ain't nothing but a lot of rail.
Oh, yeah.
I want to be in this writer's room. I feel like I would be the one pitching all the rails. Like, oh, so this is a story about a scammer. Okay, but what about railroads? Can we get more railroads in here? I think we need more railroads. Like, it's really more cowbell, but for railroads.
It seemed like it was going to be an episode about railroads.
Yeah.
For a moment there. Okay, here we go. This is Lauren Green leaving it all on the damn field as an actor, as to talk about trees. I hope you can hear it.
Us, there were trees that were living and growing in this forest. They were old when Christ pulled fish out of the Sea of Galilee. Unless you bled. That's right, Hoss. That's why we're here. Not just to take from the land, but to give.
Yes, sir.
Can you see it? 100 years from now, standing tall against the sky. Plant it, Adam.
It's your call.
Ho, ho, ho. You're crying, Mutt. Are you crying?
It's just so beautiful. It's poetic. It's a type of cowboy philosophy. I just don't know what to say.
That's right. Oh. That is a beautiful, beautiful. You ever see a scene as beautiful as that in any other damn show?
No, they says plant before you cut. Now, I will point out that they definitely cut before they planted. But
well, and they all cut off a very long tree. Yeah. It was a tree that they were beating down from the roots.
Took four hours to cut that thing down.
And I'm glad that he said the thing about leave while you take, because, you know, they took all that land from the native people, but they left some trees. Okay? Yeah. You can't say they didn't leave a tree.
They left a tree on their own land. Yeah.
Not a tree.
Yeah. Well, now, I don't know if it's fair to say they took that land. They moved in on the land that the Paiutes were living in, and they said, we're your neighbors now, and we're going to try and not rile you up. And then...
Dalton, I'm glad you said that, because I'm going to be moving in next to you. I'm going to be moving in next to you, and I'm not going to take nothing, but I am going to be in your home.
Okay, you're going to be in my home, and you're not going to take anything, but all right, well, just try not to rile me up.
I won't, and I'll bring you a tree. I will bring you a small tree as well.
Look, in defense of the Cartwrights, they might have moved in on their land, but at least they didn't take the Paiute's daughter princess in any way.
Oh, well, hang on. What? Hang on. Maybe you didn't see the whole episode.
I'm currently watching it. I'm not up to that part.
There is essentially a theft of a daughter coming up. Okay.
Small robbery of a daughter.
Yeah, but you can't fault the Cartwrights. I don't like any criticism of the Cartwrights. I really don't. But anyway, so then they hear some gunfire. Oh, did I skip something? I don't know. Doesn't matter. I skipped the whole part about how, or did I? I don't remember. But we meet Comstock, and he's getting hung. And at this time, the city where he's about to get hung in is called Hang City, apparently. he lives in the town of Hang City. Shouldn't be surprised he's getting hung. But he manages to talk the guys out of hanging him.
Which is not easy to do in a place called Hang City.
It's like, yeah, this is what we do here. What you mean? What else will he do?
He tells them they're changing the name of the town, and you're not going to be able to hang people here anymore. If you want to hang me, you're going to have to. If you want to hang me legally, you're going to have to go about 100 miles. And these idiots just go, all right, let's ride together 100 miles away to hang him. They have no problem with it.
That's what happened to me when I was double booked multi-level marketing at my girlfriend's house. And this one lady was trying to sell sex toys, and then I was trying to sell platters with God on them.
What'd you do? You said if you want to sell those sex toys, you got to go 100 miles away?
I told her to get out.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man, you could have had a combo deal there. You get a plate with Jesus' face, and you get a big pickle dildo. I would like that. Oh. Or if it was a very sexy drawing of Jesus. They used to draw him very sexy. Yeah.
That's true.
I didn't even think of that. That's why I'm not a good salesperson.
No, that's not. You're a hashtag girl boss. We all agree. Yeah. Well, anyway, so the Cartwrights go and they go to help out or whatever. They investigate these gunshots and they see Comstock on a mule with no weapon being shot at now by these four guys that's trying to hang him. And I guess Comstock got away from him. They're trying to shoot him. And the Cartwrights don't know anything about the situation whatsoever, but they decide to get involved and shoot at the guys who's shooting. Right?
Yeah.
So in Hang City, the whole time they could have shot him, but they were like, that's not what we do here.
Well, it's not Shoot City.
We only hang, so we can't use our guns right now.
No, it's Hang City.
You're right. It's not Shoot City. All right. I follow.
You go to
they're hanging him for being a claim jumper, by the way. That appears to have been the charge.
Yeah.
And this is when we see some of the best damn shooting you've ever seen. Unbelievable. All four of the Cartwrights take turns trick shooting at these guys. One of them, Hoss shoots off a guy's hat. Adam shoots a guy right in the canteen, springs a little hole.
The trajectory with which that bullet goes into that canteen would mean that either the man or the horse would have to be shot and bleed out. I don't know how a canteen can get pierced on one side and keep the bullet inside.
That's why you've got to have faith.
Okay. I didn't even think about that.
It's a mystery.
Blasphemy.
It's like the magic bullet that killed Kennedy. It's a magical damn bullet. Don't never mind where it went. And then what happened in Little Joe shoots a guy in the shoulder. And then Paul shoots a guy, shoots him in the rifle and splits his rifle in half.
Yeah.
And the whole time these guys are saying, oh my God, I can't believe how good the shooters are who's shooting at us. However, they don't know what these guys are aiming at. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, right. They could be 10 feet away aiming at their heads.
Exactly.
I would love to be such a good shooter that the people I'm murdering are like, damn, he's really murdering me good.
Respect.
Ooh,
yeah.
This is some good murder happening to me.
Yeah.
That's great. That's lovely.
I like your work and would like to die at your hand if I got to go.
I'm proud to be murdered by you. Y'all put that on my tombstone. Put it on my tombstone.
And by the way, at some point, they start talking about they think they must be getting shot at by devils. The shooting is so good, they feel it must be supernatural and must be the devil shooting at them.
Yep,
that's pretty wild.
It's really just four codependent ranchers who want to get involved in everybody's business.
Yeah. The Cartwrights.
That is a succinct way to describe the Cartwrights.
The Cartwrights have a terrible problem with not keeping their eyes on their own paper.
Oh, yeah.
That is true. They had no reason whatsoever to get involved in any of this business at all.
No, they had a real moral ambiguity from episode to episode.
Why do they like the trickster so much? Why do they have such an affectionate longing to save the top-hatted stranger?
Hard to say. Yep. They ride up on this guy. They find out he's wearing a top hat, and he talks like a fancy pants city slicker, and he's on a mule, and he's running away from some guys that are trying to shoot him, and they say right away, I like this guy. And they invite him over for dinner, and Hop Sing cooks up something. Hey, this is the second time in this series, by the way, that somebody has been confused about the meaning of the term culinary arts.
Culinary. That's how
they
he
say
says
culinary
it.
Arts.
Culinary from the city slicker.
Slicker says it. And then Hop Sing thinks he's been insulted when it's actually a compliment toward his culinary arts.
Yeah.
That's a real go-to for this show.
I love that scene because I loved how much the scammer, Mr. Comstock, really wanted to eat the corn.
Yeah.
To the point that he begs at one point for more corn when he's denied the corn. I like.
You realize he's pocketing the corn, though. He's pocketing it for him and his mule on the trip and the journey.
Did you know that Hop Singh spelled backwards is Nispo, which means he's probably representative of the Gnostic gospel?
Oh, I never did.
We need to keep an eye on him, that he is the true wisdom of the entire show.
I would not be at all surprised if the Chinaman turned out to be the true wisdom of the show. He seems, at least we know he can cook pretty good. All right, well, we're going to keep our eye on that. Well, this is the scene, by the way, where the Comstock says he grew up on the Frangatang Mountain, and nobody bats an eye. They just, okay. He also speaks of having been a guest at the Queen's Palace, and they still like him and trust him after all that. And then he says he's going to go out to the Washaw Diggins, and he's going to see what's going on out there. These guys are all digging for gold. And then we learned, I believe it's around here, that we learned that there's a dance. And we learned the big main problem of this episode, which is that all the women at the Washaw Diggins is fat.
That's right. They take pains to say that a few times.
Again and again and again.
Before we get to the dance, I just say two things that I was impressed by Mr. Comstock? When you talked about the mountains and how he said he was from them, he also, they asked him, they said, well, where else have you been? And he said, are y'all familiar with overseas? And they said, no. And then he said, okay, good. I'm from Canada. That was a perfect scammer move there. He was like, what do y'all know about Somalia? Nothing? Okay, I'm from there. That was so impressive to me. I was like, this is peak scam. I love this so much.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Although Canada is not really overseas, is it?
It is if you go south.
Okay, I get it now. That's right. Yeah. Uh-huh. Or if you leave from the Pacific and your aim is to get to the French Canada or some shit.
Yeah, well, if you leave down through the Gulf of Mexico and go all the way down and then walk across the Antarctic and then sail back up to the Arctic and come over the North Pole and come down. Yeah, then you're in Canada. So,
or if you count the Great Lakes as oceans unto themselves.
Oh, right.
Yeah. That's a good point. Well, now, so, okay, off goes Comstock with Hoss. Hoss decides to trail him as a kind of a bodyguard to make sure he doesn't get into any trouble. Why? I don't know. And then Little Joe says he's going to solve the problem of too many ugly women, ugly fat women in the Washaw Diggins for the big hoedown.
No, he did not say ugly. He said big bone, strong, stropping. Women. Okay.
Raw bones.
They did refer to these women as raw boned.
Yeah.
But good
and somehow
at dancing.
He wanted someone delicate like his mother, who died like all three of the mothers that his father has impregnated.
Yeah, and there's a moment where Ben Cartwright talks to Hoss about the mothers, and it feels like when he gets to his mother, he's going to go into some sexual detail, just the tone that he had, and he didn't, so ultimately it was disappointing.
He was almost as excited about his wives talking about them as he was about that sapling in the first scene. It was almost the same level of passion.
Before he killed every one of his three wives, he said, plant before you cut. And he impregnated them and then kept them alive in stasis long enough to have the children and then did away with them.
That's exactly what happened. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, do you know that, Lisa? This is the premise of this show. Poor Ben Cartwright has married three different women, and they all died, but they each gave him sons. He says that in this episode. They left me sons, boys. They left me sons.
That's like reverse Henry VIII. Like, he actually got the sons, but then they still died.
And Cartwright managed to kill more wives than Henry VIII, even though he got what he wanted.
Now, did he name the trees after his wives? He was like, that was Tawny. That was Marie, and that was your mama, Jane. are the trees named after him? I hope so.
Yeah, he does, and he still goes out and has some intimacy with them from time to time.
That's beautiful.
You bet he does. You bet he does. Well,
a ponderosa cutting board.
That's what it is. It's got a hole in it. Do whatever you want with that hole, just like Mutt Taylor. Hoss and Comstock head down to the Diggins, and this is where Comstock does some great scamming, and he comes in contact with a fellow in a blue hat who's got one of the best faces and beards in the history of this show. We get some scraggly miners down there. And Mr. Comstock says that he owns this whole land and calls it the Comstock Lode. And and then he asks if he can go in as a partner with one guy for $17 on a whole side of a mountain.
Comstock Lode was my nickname in high school.
I really loved Comstock here because he displayed excellent scam skills. They walk up, he immediately says, "I own this land." And everybody says, "How? You just got here." And he says, "Never mind that." And I like that a lot. And then he started a fight with the first kind of scraggly little minor guy. And why does the minor guy swing a punch and hit the other guy? And then Comstock just walks away as the fight happens and starts to scam. So the whole time he's scamming, there's a full-on brawl happening in the back. He's like, "Yeah, never mind that. Never mind that. So you got some claims over here? I got $17.
I know. It was beautiful.
It was beautiful.
It was wonderful. Yeah, the one scraggly guy was going to punch the other scraggly guy who had Bob Dylan's voice, and but accidentally he screwed up and punched Hoss.
Oh no!
No, I guess he must have been trying to punch Comstock.
Comstock, yeah.
And screwed up and punched Hoss, and then Hoss has to take on the entire mining city population, which is no problem for him because, as we've discussed before, he is a gargantuan, like a sort of a Hulk, like he has unlimited strength.
He did it Tarantino style.
Yeah.
Like when one person is fighting like lots of people. So, but instead of like ninjas that he was fighting, he was just fighting like real beat down homely miners, and they were coming at him, and he broke a bat or a stick and he was fighting them. It was good.
How many episodes in a row now is it that Hoss has fought a bunch of miners?
Well, it's at least two. And that's what happens. They just pile people on top of him. Like 20 people will advance on him all at once, and he throws them off like flies. By the way, there's one moment here where the brawl moves in front of Comstock, where he's talking to his new mining partner, and there's one fella in the whole circle of people who's trying to beat up on Hoss who can't get close enough to do anything except slap him on the top of the head. But he's
like
doing that.
Benny Hill.
Yeah, he does it a bunch of times. He gives him a bunch of slaps right on top of his head.
I didn't see that.
Oh, it's good. It's a hell of a fight move. That's
a commitment. That's a commitment to a fight.
I'm going to get in there somehow.
That's kind of something my husband and I do as foreplay. He likes the size of my head.
Oh, well, you do have a nice sized head.
It's big.
It is big. I mean, it is all I see in the Zoom screen.
It is an extra large head, and you pat it, and I don't know what feeling he gets, but it gets him excited.
Oh, boy. Are you allowed to pat his head? What happens if you pat his head?
No.
Okay. All righty. I understand.
Oh, you got deadly serious.
It's his body. It's his body.
Okay. His body, his rules. I get it. Well, so now we got Little Joe up there. He's with the Paiute Indians. He's rode up there trailing a piece of blue silk behind him the whole way. I thought that was a signal to the Indians that don't attack me, but it turns out it's just a piece of fabric that he wants to give to Chief Winnemucca's daughter, Sarah Tucci. And
Sarah Tucci. Now, the Indians have princesses?
Indian princess. I mean, sure.
Okay.
I guess.
She's also related to Stanley Tucci.
Sarah Tucci.
Well, she looks more like Stanley Tucci than she does a Native American, so I will grant you that.
Yep.
It's just like Pretty Women. The guy goes, "Here's a dress. Wear it."
Exactly. Well, not even that. He shows up with just a sheet, silk sheet.
She got to still do the work. He's "Here's some fabric. Make your own dress. I love you."
And she does it quick, too, by the way.
Says, "Hurry up and make a dress and come with me to a dance tomorrow night." And somehow I don't think she speaks a word of English or anything. And she understands all that. And so at some point, she is wearing a dress in this scene. And Little Joe, to demonstrate what a dress means, puts this silk thing around his own body. But she's wearing a dress. That was confusing.
He could have pointed to it. He could have just pointed to it.
He might have just pointed to it just like that. Yep.
But then he described the river and a meadow with river and then meadow with a flat hand, river and then meadow.
And she's just nodding like, "Oh, I got it."
Yeah.
Wavy hand, flat hand.
Yeah, I don't speak a lick of English, but I can just Virginia reel like nobody's business.
She's what if she speaks a bunch of English?
Yeah, she. I'm giving her a chance to talk.
That's
fully
true.
Can speak English. They never let her talk. They're like, shh, we know you don't speak English. I'm like, but wait.
Well, yep. Now none that takes us. Yeah, what are you going to say there, Amy?
None of the women speak because it's non-union. They're not union.
Right.
Well, there's a remarkable scene with a woman not speaking once we get to the hoedown at Dutch Pete's, where Hoss is dancing with a lady in a red dress, and he calls loud as he can across the room while he's dancing with this woman. He says, "See what I told you? Fat and ugly as a skunk." And she just goes on smiling away. She, yeah. Yeah. I think, I don't know if it was established that that woman was deaf, but that would make sense. Because then we see a fair bit more of that woman, and she doesn't say a word.
No,
never
she's
says a word.
Just loaded on tarantula juice.
Oh, yeah.
And it doesn't make any sense because she's beautiful.
Yeah.
She's a beautiful, rosy-cheeked young lady.
That's true, but not Haas's bag, I guess. Haas likes a woman who's dying of consumption, as we've already learned in previous episodes.
All the Cartwrights like dying women. I think it's a fear of commitment or heterosexuality. I don't know what it is. But
it's crazy because you could just leave. You could just leave the woman, but it's like, no, she has to be dying.
Yeah.
He's like, I saw a beautiful woman with typhoid on my way out of the saloon.
Oh, episode two.
Sarah Tucci looks tanorexic.
Yeah.
Tanorexic?
Yeah.
Yeah, like she's not eating enough and she's going to the sun salon too much.
Yeah, she's very, very small. That's
the sun salon. As AKA outside.
Yeah, the sun salon.
I've been going to the sun salon a lot.
You can show you. Charge people money for that and it's kind of a scam.
Hannah and I will.
Let's watch a scene here. I got another scene for you guys, if I can find it. Where the hell's my damn somewheres? Dang it. All right, hang on. Everything's fine. Here we go. This is a scene where he walks in. This is Little Joe arrives at Dutch Pete's for the hoedown with Sarah Tucci, daughter of Winnemucca. And here's the reaction. Okay. Coming back. That is a completely incompetent line dance caller. He's just mumbling along to the music. Yep.
Wow.
What was that line? I wrote it down. Howling snakes and ringtail screamers. That's what I call a real hunk of woman. Whoa. Beautiful. Beautiful line.
Poetry.
It's poetry.
Yeah. Was he a rapper? He was the first country rapper? Because he sounds like Lil Nas X of Bonanza.
Oh. Yeah, that's Old Virginie. And he is in the episode.
That works as a rap name.
Old Virginia does.
Old Virginia does.
Yeah.
He is there exclusively and talking about Virginia for like a half an hour of this episode, just so that toward the end of the episode, we kind of understand why they named this town Virginia City instead of Hang City. That's about it.
I did a little looking into what tarantula juice is. You want to hear it?
Oh, okay. Yes, please.
Yeah. So it's a type of gin that's laced with strychnine, the poison. And apparently you would get much the same feeling as you would if you were on methamphetamines.
Oh.
It was a popular practice to get two pitchers of it, one to get you hammered, and then one to drink the next morning when you wake up with your skin feeling like it's crawling with tarantulas. So you drink it then. Hair of the dog, but in this case, the hairy legs of the tarantula.
Yeah. Wow.
Real good stuff.
So that way you don't pick your skin off.
I know.
Wow.
Yeah.
They made it sound sexy. Tarantula juice sounds good. But then when you said, I'm going to start picking my skin off in the morning, I'm starting to reconsider. Yeah. But it still sounds fun.
That could be. I mean, I've had some.
Yeah, you tried it?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And what happened? Where'd you try it?
I peeled my arms off.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to do that. No. I don't know if I'll drink that.
Currently, it looks like I'm wearing a long sleeve shirt with my sleeves rolled up, but that's my skin. And I have a hole through the side of my torso. So, yeah.
I take Christian nutritional supplements so I can clean the house.
I'd take some of those if you got them.
What's in there?
They're called God Help Me pills.
What's in there? Does it make you all speedy?
It's just it's caffeine. It's just a little roast coffee in a pill form. Jeez. Okay.
All right. No problem. That's like them no-dos, right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
But I'm not gonna sell those too on the side if anybody needs a supply.
I do. I'd take some.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. Well, so, okay, it's a real old hoedown, and then Little Joe plants a kiss on Sarah Tucci, and then, bang, in comes Chief Winnemucca. Chief Winnemucca walks right in, and the fun time is over, and then I'll play this little scene here, because this is really the best shooting scene we've ever seen on this show. Mm. It is remarkable. Okay, so this is a scene here. There's a little bit of a confrontation after Joe has kissed. Is this what I wanted to show?
That's
the end of the other one. Plus size model.
Yeah.
There she is.
A Robin here we gal.
Oh, yeah, Robin. Here we go.
Ah, congratulations, friend. Haven't been to a wedding for a long time. Yeah. You know, I had an uncle once, Uncle Jonah. Not the one that got himself swallowed by the whale. No, sir, he's a different fellow entirely.
That's Comstock.
My mother's brother. One that never did a day's lick of work in his life. Did manage to get himself married, though, 7 different times.
Yeah. I think you've done enough talking for one night.
Well, I ain't had a chance to kiss the bride yet.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow. So what happened in that scene was Comstock is going to go and be the second person tonight to kiss the Indian princess. And her husband-to-be, Lean Knife, pulls out his knife, and Little Joe elbows him in the gut, but he's about to stab Little Joe, and then he gets shot in the wrist or the hand, but not in a way that causes the skin to break in any way. There isn't any blood.
I love how long it was taking him to try to stab the man. Like, he had the knife out, and he was like, it's stabbing time. I'm going to stab you just long enough for somebody to get a gun out and shoot it out of his hand.
The way I took it was that the bullet went nowhere near him, but just coincidentally, he got a mean wrist cramp at the time because it just...
Maybe that was it. The actor, first he grips his wrist, and then he slides a hand up to his hand. Like, it's kind of like, I forget where they told me I'd get shot in the wrist or the hand.
But there was a little smoke by his wrist, though. So,
oh, was there? Oh,
yeah.
There.
That was...
Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay.
Well, they took great pains when the Little Joe shot the guy in the arm in the beginning to put a little squib pyrotechnic there, but they just ran out of money or time. I don't know what.
Something. But this is another one of those shots where it doesn't really seem to have hurt him. Gunshots on Bonanza don't tend to hurt people. They just make them say, oh, okay, I'm not going to do that. What I was planning
mosquito on. Mosquito bite.
Yeah, they change your mind. It's a mind changer.
Bee sting.
Yeah, it's just a little bee sting. Just a little bee sting. Well, guess who shot that gun? It was Adam Cartwright there with Ben Cartwright, and they have shown up just in the nick of time to intervene and prevent Little Joe from being scalped by Chief Winnemucca for stealing his daughter in a beautiful blue dress. And Ben says, if anybody's going to punish my boy, I'm going to punish him. And the chief leaves. And then there's all this confusing nonsense about gold in the hills and all that stuff. And Comstock ends up getting, he sells the land for $11,000 and there's millions of dollars in gold and silver up there or something. Who cares? But it does go on to be called the Comstock Lode forevermore. And then at the very end, we learn why they named this town, Virginia City, and the reason is that some drunk old Virginian poured some liquor on the ground and baptized it as part of Virginia, and Comstock decided it should sound like more of a city, so he added city to it. Right?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's such a long road to go for the payoff. That's like when I try to sell my nested baskets and go through the whole book of Ruth.
You read a whole book from the Bible as part of your sales pattern for these nested baskets?
Yes.
Yeah, that's it.
By the time I'm done, they say, just put me down for four.
Well, then it works. Then it works. That's good. Well, there you go. Now, I'm sorry to say that after this, we only have 422 episodes of Bonanza left.
Oh, man.
Can you believe it? They only made... You believe that, Lisa? They only made 431 episodes of this show across a mere 14 seasons.
It's unbelievable, especially with so much railroad.
Right. I know. Yeah. They ain't even started laying down that railroad yet.
No. And the wonderful thing is they refer to Comstock in that he passed away and that he's in heaven now. And that's where we're all going, to heaven.
Mm. That is beautiful. And then I believe... The last sort of joke of the episode is them speculating that even up in heaven, Comstock is still jumping claims.
He's taking really clouds. He's taking clouds away from other angels.
Yeah, he is. He's stealing clouds and mining for cloud gold up there in heaven. That's a beautiful image. Well, sir, any other final thoughts about this episode, final observations, anything else? I think it was a wonderful one. Man, oh, man. I loved it.
Yeah, it was fun.
But philosophical. I liked it. Made me think about things.
Yeah. I wish that Comstock had been a little better of a scammer. He couldn't keep up with his lies. That started to happen a lot, where it was like, wait a minute, you told us this. And he'd be like, oh yeah. And then when I was with Queen Elizabeth, y'all know her, I call her Lizzie. Then when I was with Lizzie and them at the Royal Palace, I was like, come on now, Comstock, you just get your lies. We have a lie journal, like any other decent scammer.
Is that what they do? Do they keep a lie journal?
Yeah, you're like, July 4th. Today I said that I went to Queen Elizabeth's palace and did shots off of her bosom. And then, you know, you just know that you did that.
Yeah, see, that's smart. Got to keep up with your lies. Yeah, absolutely. Amy, where are you on lying? You don't. Is that a bad thing to do in the Bible?
I encourage. That's what I do. I love the smell of bread and the sound of laughter and cleaning up and cutting up and catching up with friends and family. And I do keep a record of who I sold a serving spoon to last.
Yeah, beautiful. That's just beautiful personal statement. All right, anybody got anything to plug? Anything coming up? I got nothing now. I've just got to find a new ranch. I'm staying at a Holiday Inn now. I got to figure out some new ranching situation or something. And I think, by the way, I'm laying low for a while. As far as the law is concerned, Dalton Wilcox died in that explosion. So, you know, just till the heat dies down, I'm laying low a little bit.
All right.
Yeah. All right.
Taking your own death. I'm proud of you. I'm very proud of you.
That's the ultimate scam.
Scam. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hey, they ever find Olivia Newton-John's husband? Did he ever turn up?
What?
Olivia Newton-John's husband.
What? Is this a recent? How? What are you talking about?
I'll look at him. He disappeared. Everybody thought he faked his own death. I know.
How recent did he disappear?
2 or 3 years ago.
Oh.
I'm looking it up right now. It hardly has anything to do.
I do have a new product line.
Okay.
It's bolts of blue cloth that you send women in your life.
Oh, from this episode?
And you say, get dressed. And you say, put on something nice. You know, but you just send them the cloth so they have to do all the work. Because that's what women do.
It's all the work.
All the work. That's emotional and physical.
Oh, my. I think that's a beautiful idea. Here, take this big blue sheet and, damn it, get dressed. Turn it into exactly what you're wearing there, except made out of this.
I did that to my gal, Pris, and it just sat there.
Oh, yeah.
And you handle all the repercussions of me leaving my tribe and my father. And my fiance.
What'd you find out about Newton John's hubby?
It's a little confusing. I think there's a headline here. Olivia Newton-John's former boyfriend found in Mexico after going missing 12 years ago.
What?
The former boyfriend of Olivia Newton-John has reportedly been discovered after going missing. But he's an American cameraman.
That's what I want all my former boyfriends to do.
Yeah.
Go to Mexico for 12 years and don't come back.
That's
and
not
teach
a bad
painting
idea.
Workshops in San Miguel de Allende.
Yeah. Yeah, the Coast Guard says that they thought he most likely drowned, but the circumstances around his disappearance triggered speculation that he faked his own death. In 2009, old Dateline got involved. He disappeared to avoid debts, including $8,000 he allegedly owed to his ex-wife for child support. So anyway, that's a fun story.
He disappeared for $8,000? That's a very low amount of money to disappear your life for.
Yeah.
Listen, I owe somebody $1,500, so we got to disappear. Give me a stick and a bandana. We're going to Mexico.
He did it. He pulled the trigger on the fake death for $8,000.
It's a little too early. It's a little too early to disappear.
It is a little too.
He was also
compounded with interest for a couple of years at least.
He could have gotten that from Olivia Newton-John on any given day.
Right.
I would think so. Hey, tap into the Xanadu money. Oh, I screwed up.
Oh, yeah. I know you ain't spend a lick of that because you've been just rolling in on the royalties for physical. But let's say we open up that Xanadu coffer.
It's either that or 12 years in Mexico.
Hey, you ever think that after 431 episodes, we ain't got nowhere to go, we do a true crime podcast? Because that's what this feels like.
Hey, yeah, it does. Yeah. I like it. All right, so we're plugging our true crime podcast, which is going to be... By the way, recently, Mutt and I figured out it would take 8.5 years. It will take 8.5 years at the rate we're going, one every 2 weeks, to get through every episode of Bonanza that was ever made.
Yeah, but we got it. We can do it.
We can do it. All right.
If you don't do it, just go to Mexico. Just go to Mexico for 12 years.
Yeah.
And that's how we'd stop. We'd have to stop the podcast because we have disappeared.
Oh, it's exciting.
That's the only way this podcast is ever going to end. All of us will disappear on a fishing boat. All righty. Well, thank you so much, Lacey, for joining us for this one. You can listen to Scam Goddess, the podcast, right?
Yes, and, on any platform. And if you want to follow me online, D-I-V-A-L-A-C-I, Diva Lacey.
Okay, do that. All right, everybody. We'll see you next time. So long.
Bananas for Bonanza is brought to you by Andy Daly with Maria Bamford and Matt Gorley. Theme song by Matt Gorley with The Journeyman, which in this case are Mark McConville, Daniel Michikoff, and Wade Ryan. Special thanks to our gang on the ground, Josh Richmond and Shannon Locke. Bananas for Bonanza is produced by Ryan Connor and Matt Gorley, and executive produced by Colin Anderson and Chris Bennett. We'll see you next time.
That's the sound of another sale on Shopify, in store. Shopify POS is everything you need to sell in person. From payments to inventory, Shopify unites your sales into one commerce platform. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/retail23. Shopify.com/retail23.